everybody. We're back for the season finale, and I'm with Lucy from It's the Lucy Show. We've got a fun one today with collective questions about everything from Year of Health to my favorite bras. Can't wait for you to listen. Well, what a delight. Here I am with Lucy from It's the Lucy Show, my youngest kid. Welcome.
Hi.
Welcome to the podcast, Lucy.
Thank you so much for having me. We haven't done this in quite a bit, and I'm almost a little nervous. I have butterflies.
I mean, it's been a minute, you know, and we can talk about that, but it felt like a good way to end the season was to end it with you. And there are so many on Ask a Question Sunday questions that come up that people ask me that I cannot do in a 15-second story. So we thought, let's dedicate some of the podcast to this.
Yeah, let's just face it. I don't think that either of us are really 15-second story people. You've adapted quite well, but I'd say we are a long-winded group.
We're a long-winded group. So always like keeping ourselves a bit edited is, it's a good note for us, I would say.
It's an emerging skill.
Yeah.
I have some lovely questions in many different categories from people all across the board, but it would feel natural just to start with like, how are we doing? How are we doing?
You know, it's been a really tough year for me in so many ways. I mean, my health is great and Roy and I are great, you know, but it has been a big year of transition. And I would say in many ways, it's really kicked my behind. And it's really this summer why we haven't done the podcast is I felt a little depleted and I felt like I needed to take a bit of a break from things just in my year of health to replenish myself, you know, but there's been changes. I mean, Zach, you know, who's been with me from the beginning, made a needed change for him and, you know, moved back to where his family lives. And, but, you know, we were, you know, both roommates and, you know, dear friends and continue to be dear friends. But that was a big change. There's been some, you know, really some changes in my life and transitioning in very big ways, you know, some I don't really want to talk about. But it's been a hard year for me. So I've just doing my best every day to love myself, take care of myself, and always just sort of doing the next thing. But I couldn't do the podcast and not be real with that.
I mean, I think that's very much like what I'm seeing. We've all really experienced such a collective trauma. And I think like people have talked about that throughout COVID, like this thing about collective trauma, but now I'm really seeing it with everybody in my community and all my friends. Like people are just, even people that feel stable right now, it's like the fallout from what this pandemic has been like, I feel like is only starting to just show face, and we're all in recovery mode. Like for me, I'm on top of dealing with explorations of my own gender identity, which is like a full-time job for me. I've had a breakup and a possible, you know, get back together. I've had, you know, things happen in my friends' lives and, you know, health stuff with family members. It's just been a year where I feel like I'm constantly trying to just keep up and feel so swallowed. And I know that we share that with so many other people, which is like kind of astounding to me. In one way, I think it makes me feel less alone. And in another way, I'm like, what the hell? Like this is happening to so many people that I know. And so I think it's good, you know, to be honest about that.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, when I say to people how you're doing, and I'm like, oh, I feel like I've just had everything, you know, it's all been taken out of me. You know, what I know is that everyone feels this way. So it's, I know that I'm not unique. And I also know that I'm fortunate and privileged in many ways that I have a lot of wonderful things going on too. But yeah, it's just been a year of transition. So it was nice to come back and sort of complete this and get ready to, you know, possibly start another session of the podcast.
Yeah. And one exciting thing that's happening, just to slip it in here, because we know that I have to, is that it's my birthday coming up. So that is something that I'm looking forward to, because if anybody knows anything about me, the first thing to know would be that I believe that my birthday is in fact a national holiday. Yep. And this year it falls on a Wednesday, which means I can force my friends to celebrate me for two weekends in a row. It's incredible.
It's the best.
Okay, so we've got some pretty good questions. One that I really liked was just about like family traditions, things that we, you know, traditions that we have as a family, whether that's like food, or this person was specifically wondering about 4th of July, but like what traditions did you grow up with that sort of come to mind? that you can think of, whether it was like when you were growing up or when we were growing up?
Yeah, I mean, my mother and father were certainly traditions people, and a lot of traditions is just around being together, making delicious food, enjoying time with family. So, you know, my mother was all about 4th of July because she was a very patriotic person. And so, you know, from gathering at her home to, you know, all being together in Deerfield where I grew up, to seeing there was a 5K run every year, to see the runners going by and going out and playing music with, you know, for them, singing like "This Land Is Your Land," you know, whether it was all gathering at Easter, you know, or New Year's Eve where we made wonderful dishes as a family. And, you know, from the time I made like a raggedy Ann salad when I was like, you know, like 4 years old, like with a half cling peach and, you know, raisins for eyes and celery for legs, you know. So, you know, those kind of traditions. And, you know, some of those, you know, we've carried on, you know, and so much for me is like family time spent together. I mean, I loved the tradition of driving you kids to school when we could get Patrick out the door to go to school, which was a real challenge in high school, to picking you guys up in the afternoon and having like a beautiful little snack box, or, you know, going somewhere to get a snack, or, you know, walking you in school and holding your hand. I mean, these kinds of traditions for me, you know, are the very best. But, you know, Christmas with the extended Turner family, and, you know, Thanksgiving that, you know, went from, you know, my mom's home, you know, and then when my mom was gone, you know, sometimes transitioning it to our house where we take the table in the living room and we remove all the furniture and we make a Marie Antoinette table. So, you know, I don't think there's anything better in the entire world than wonderful memories that you create with people that you love. You know, I don't know if you remember when we would make my mother's egg rolls, which are in the cookbook. Making them not only to eat, and by the way, it's like you can gain 5 pounds from looking at one, but making them for people in the neighborhood and saying like, we're going to make you guys egg rolls, and like bringing them over. And those are, for me, it's memories are around like eating with people that you love. What about you?
The egg rolls are like a big deal. The egg rolls are quite the ordeal. We need like, you need like days of preparation to even think about making the egg rolls, and the payoff is pretty grand. Yeah.
Just don't fry too many at a time because they stick together. And I'm going to let you answer this too, but it's like, also, it's like, for me, it was like, one of my traditions, and you probably are going to say it, is cooking at the kids' school. So it'd be like going to your class, making the waffles, which I made from the time you were in kindergarten until the time you were graduating. And I did this for Patrick's class also. So coming in, whether teaching the kids to cook or cooking for, you know, the entire grade, sending St. Patrick's Day cookies, you know, sending dirt cups, you know, for the class on your birthday, you know, doing the poached pears that I would do like every year for your birthday snack. Cause it's like, you can bring the birthday snack, and then every year it's like, what's the birthday snack? What are we doing for the birthday snack?
Those traditions had a huge impact on me. They were like kind of the traditions I would talk about in response to this question, but I would say they also had a huge impact on my classmates. Like, I still have classmates where it's like, somebody will like come out of the woodworks to ask me, is your mother still making those poached pears? Nobody took making a waffle more seriously than you. Like, you would set up like a gourmet buffet where it's like, no, we're not buying whipped cream out of the can. Like, we are going to whip the whipped cream right here. And then we're going to do a taste test to see, is the whipped cream sweet enough? We're going to do a poll and then remake it if it's not.
And it wasn't only just me. I would bring two like professional waffle irons. I would invite another mother, and the other mother would be like, I'm invited for the Terry Turner waffle for like grade 4 or whatever. And it would be like all the toppings and like the nuts and chocolate and,
they're practically going to like put it on their resume as like, I was a professional sous chef.
Please. And by the way, both the, and I didn't even think about this. This is not in no way a plug, but the poached pears are in the book, and the egg rolls. Yes. Oh. Yeah. So those two recipes, which are in the family section of the book, are, well, there's something people can make, and your day is going to be made better if you make them, because they're fabulous.
Yeah. I think we share some of the the most incredible traditions and memories. I was thinking of something yesterday, which isn't really a tradition, but basically like in our garage, when we would back out to drive to school every morning, I had like this weird thing. Like when you back out, it's like, there's no way to just back out and not really bump into the trash can. And I had a weird thing. Like I didn't want you to tap the trash can with the car, which you would always do before like turning the other way. And so you would make up this thing where you go, no, Lucy, we're kissing the garbage can. We're kissing the garbage can. But I really didn't like it. So every morning I would say, don't kiss the garbage can. Don't kiss the garbage can. Don't kiss the garbage can. And yesterday I was parking and I was like getting really close to this garbage can. And for some reason I felt like really panicked about it. And I was like in my head saying, don't kiss the garbage can. Don't kiss the garbage can. It just reminded me. It was like the cutest, funniest story.
Here's another one that I loved is that always, and I'll see if you can remember, we're driving to school and it was a privilege and an honor that I got to drive you to school. I remember Roy should be like, why don't you like put him on the bus or whatever? But it was like, in so many ways, my job was being your mother and I loved it. And it was so wonderful for you and Patrick. And I loved driving you guys to school every day, except for those years we couldn't get Patrick to go. I loved the ritual of going by. And then we would always get there early because I'm an early person. And so now we're going to get ready to park. What do we say as we're approaching so that we can find a parking place?
I literally wrote this down because I was going to tell this story next. We would say, angels and guides, we need a space. Angels and guides, we need a space.
Angels and guides, we need a space. And guess what? We never, on one occasion, did not find a space.
I still do it because I believe in the power of the magic chance.
Yeah, I love it.
It hasn't failed me to this day.
So good.
You may find a space that's farther away from your location than you desired, but you will find a space.
I mean, and always like Valentine's Day, you know, putting chocolates in your room and putting a beautiful little note, like on a gorgeous little stationery. And I know Santa wrote some very beautiful notes to you guys every year.
Santa has the best handwriting. He must have gone to like calligraphy school. Santa writes beautiful notes.
Right. And what's an interesting thing, what we would say was we had an expression, if you're kind of like ruining somebody else's good time or something, what was that called, Lucy?
It was called a Santa crusher.
Being a Santa crusher, who needs to go around announcing any details that we might not want to discuss because we don't know who's listening. It's like, that's a Santa crusher right there.
Don't talk about the whereabouts of Santa when it's not Christmas time. Don't tell me that he's not at the North Pole. I don't want to hear about
it. Don't besmirch Santa for us. Yeah. I mean, and when you do that, we call it being a Santa crusher. So if I'm like, oh, I'm doing this thing, and someone's like, well, you can't work for like a bathing suit line. You're a chubby 60-year-old woman. It's like, don't be a Santa crusher because I can do what I want to make happen.
You said, hold my beer, or better yet, hold my spiked Spindrift seltzer.
Yes, exactly. It's like, let's not limit each other in life. Let's not decide if someone has a dream. And often, like when anytime someone's telling me something and I'm thinking in my mind, this is not realistic, I just always remind myself, don't be a Santa crusher. It's like, we can't even begin to know, you know? Can we get a little into bras with this, or do you have a little more to say about traditions?
I think traditions is a perfect segue into bras. Okay. I was just going to suggest we talk about bras. What I feel like you have quite a lot that you'd like to discuss about bras, and I think we should tap into it.
Well, I just want to say, like, in this year of health, it's been like such a wow year for me. And what has been really a tough year to say, you know, and I'm going to kind of talk about bras and year of health at the same time. You know, last year, pandemic, which we're still having, eating, you know, a little too much comfort food, feeling like, I weigh too much, and I think it's a bad idea for my health. And basically saying January 1, I'm going to do something about that, but not from a punishing, crushing, have celery and drink water place, but like, how about if I have a whole year of health where I'm just embracing? And so I'm not like every day going, I haven't lost enough weight. And that's why it gets to like, you know, it gets to that because I just didn't want to have like, I'm now on Weight Watchers. And here's the thing. Weight Watchers is fabulous, and I think anybody should do it. So I'm not saying, I'm talking about for my own self. You know, I've been in diet mentality pretty much my whole life, and I just decided I'm not going to do that this year, and I'm going to see what the experiment is. And it's been really like a gobsmacking, incredible year for me, just in so many wonderful ways of just really embracing myself and saying, I need more sleep. I need more rest. I need more vacation. You know, I need more exercise. I need less portions. But I need to be eating the things that I loved. It's really been like so much fun, you know, and I've gone on, you know, a vacation, and I've been to like a graduation, and I've done all of these different things, but I've still been able to lose and maintain weight. And part of that sometimes means you don't have to be losing all the time. You can have a whole month where like, or 2 months or 3 months where you're like, I'm just on maintenance because it's the summer. I don't want to be tied to my scale. I don't want to feel like I'm not doing enough. Because that gets into overeating actually for me, you know, when I feel deprived. So it's been, I don't know, it's been amazing. And, you know, part of that is this year of like just feeling good and losing weight and, you know, I've lost 25 pounds, which a lot of people know, is like, you know, buying a beautiful dress. Well, I'm a curvy girl. I've got a large chest, and it's like, how does one, you know, in a pretty dress that has a V-neck. And I think if you've got a nice chest, and you're celebrating it, wear a V-neck, by the way. There is this thing about like covering one's boobs. Okay. And so I basically get this dress and I'm like, how am I going to do it? You're going to go to the cleaners. You're going to have all these snaps put on. It is exhausting. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do something totally different, which is I'm going to take my beautiful dress to the bra shop and I'm going to get really pretty dresses, really pretty bras, sometimes more than the dress, by the way. Maybe I get the dress at Nordstrom Rack for $26. And I'm going to get like a beautiful bra that is just like, that's like perfect with it. So did one. I mean, I went out to dinner with my sister. My sister's like, and I love my sister. She says to someone, does Terry know that her bra is showing? I don't know. You know, she, and you know, Patty's not really a fashion person per se. You know, she just, it was kind of a giggle, but she said to Susan, does Terry know her bra is showing? And then I liked that dress so much. I got a second in a second color and I got, you know, the bra to go with that. So there would be the thing of like doing a story. And people love, by the way, when I show my clothes, they love my, like my little outfits and all of that. And it's so like kind of,
I'm sure they love when you show the bra too.
Oh, so I do the bra and you get the reaction from, I don't know if you know, but your bra is showing. And you get, and even if the person's listening that said it, you know, somebody's saying to me, that's a better look for someone that's younger. And my thing was like, that is a limited belief that you have. I don't hold that limited belief. I am totally celebrating my body. Part of what that looks like is, if you're going to allow your bra to show, have your bra be totally beautiful, make it be a part of the outfit. But I'm not ragging on this person for saying it, because I really, what this person was saying is what somebody thinks. And that person can say that to me so I can make a decision for myself. And that can also mean pushing back, you know? So in the bra showing, there's been a lot of discussion of like, I love your bras, where you get your bras, where's that bra from? I love that your bra is showing, you know, to, you know, posting stories where it's like, and by the way, I know the bra is showing, you know, and then I ended up doing a story that was like, you know, it is absolutely okay. Like, why are we living in this world that our bra can't show? You know, it's absolutely okay for your bra strap to show. But my thing is like, get yourself, you know, you deserve a luscious, beautiful, pretty bra. So anyways, it's one of these things that happens, like when you were going off to school or moving, how there was something that happened around that content that resonates for people. And for whatever reason, the year of health and this idea of our bras showing, you know, it really resonated for people. And sometimes like, it's like, you know, so now I've gotten like a number of really beautiful bras. It's been sort of, and I think at some point, you know, somebody's like, what is your, whatever it is, your naughty pleasure, or what is your indulgent thing? I would say, yeah, beautiful bra is something that really nourishes my soul. And so I'm all about, you know, it's okay. Just celebrate it.
It's so interesting to me that it's like, I feel like young people like are like the younger generation right now gets so critiqued for like what they wear, but then that there are people out there being like, oh, you're not the right age to be doing this. That's for younger people, where it's like, there's no way to win.
Right.
There's no way to win. But I think the bra showing, I think you're onto something.
I'm on something. And here's the thing about the woman. She did not mean in any way to be dissing me. She was talking about a belief that she had. And frankly, it was helpful. I mean, because I was like, oh no, I'm not going to, that's a limited belief. I'm not going to take that on. Whatever you want to do with your own underwear is fine. I'm going to be in charge of my underwear and I feel good about mine. But I mean, there is that thing, you know, I mean, for a long time, I haven't said how old I am because it's like, I don't want people to know how old I am because I want, you know, when I was at 40, I said I was like 40 for 10 years. When I was at 50, I said I was at 50 for 10 years. And then finally, on my 60th birthday, you did this video where all these people are like screaming happy 60th, where I'm like, oh my God, I never gave Lucy permission to say everyone could know my age. But then part of this year of health has just been like, it's so totally fine to embrace who I am, to say my age, to not feel like, you know, I got my friends who are like lying about their ages and everything. And I get it. I just, I don't want to do that. I don't want to lie about my age. I just want to be who I am and feel good about who I am, or feel not good about who I am and then figure out what to do about that. You know what I mean?
I was kind of surprised when you felt the way that you did, where you're like, oh my God, why I didn't tell you that you could tell all these people. Cause my I was stunned sort of, cause my perspective of you is somebody that is like living in embracing that just in our relationship, where when I did that, I was like, I hadn't for a second considered that that would be something that would be embarrassing to you. Cause I'm like, my mom is a person that is like, so just embracing who she is and being like, letting your freak flag fly wherever we're dancing in the supermarket. So I'm like, this is not going to be something that's embarrassing to her, but it's so nice to hear that it's come around in a different way.
Yeah, it's definitely come full circle. And so, you know, that's like, you're part of that lesson. I mean, and you outing me and doing it, yeah, it just was like, you know what, Terry, it's so time to be the age you are and not feel, and there's a whole thing about aging and feeling, oh, I got a wrinkle or I'm getting gray hair and all of that. It is, you know, and I actually think for truly beautiful women, it's probably much harder than, you know, I don't know that I look much worse than I did when I was 40, even if I'm aging. So I think average looking women in a way can age, you know, we're just not as attached to like, I'm a goddess, beautiful girl. I don't know if that makes any sense, but yeah. So there you go. So I want to embrace, I want to embrace who I am is what I want to do.
I'm really proud of you for that, because I think throughout my life, I definitely have seen you. I mean, it's not something I noticed, I think, until you made this shift over the last like 2 years away from diet culture. But it's like, I can look back and see, you as a person that was like really influenced by that. And the shift that I've seen you make of just like real self-acceptance that's like spilled into every area of your life. I mean, it might have been a really crappy year, but the change that I've seen you make and the impact that it's had on your life and on like everybody's relationship with you is just pretty profoundly amazing. And I'm really proud of you. And that has spilled over into my life too. Like, you know, I totally have a different perspective now. And I think it in great part to Liz, your health coach and my health coach, you know, but I just want to say, I'm very proud of you.
And I do, I want a couple shout outs. I want to say is Liz Josephsberg, whose book is Target 100. I've worked on and off with her for about 3 years. I worked with her over the book tour. And then finally, you know, last year, but it's like, I want to work with you next year because I'm really going to go on this year of health. And I would say working with her has been really life changing for me. And it's so not from a place of like, calories and, you know, and all of that. And it's not from keto or a Whole30. And I mean, I love Whole30 and I love cooking that way, but I think she helps people make really life changes. So you should go over and find her on Instagram. She's amazing. And Stephanie at Cook by Color, you know, who runs these great Whole30 groups. And I love to be a part of them. And I think doing a reset once or twice a year is a great thing to do, is to say for this, you know, I'm not on a diet, but I'm going to, you know, for a period of time. And, you know, I started the year, I felt, by doing 100 days of Whole30, which was phenomenal. And, you know, right now, September, everyone's doing Whole30, but it's just been like, oh my God, I want to support everyone that's doing Whole30, but I'm not going to do Whole30 right now because it's not for me the right thing right now. I'm going to do one in January, and it's fun to do beginning and be like, oh, we're not drinking for a month and blah, blah, blah. But what was different about this Whole30 was I really thought I took it next level. Like it was like, I am going to think about portions, you know, I am going to, you know, do a green juice, which I, you know, one of the things in my year of health I've been doing is I make a green juice every day and I love it. I have it for breakfast. It's been incredible for me. I think drinking, you know, a green juice is just like, it's adds so much vitality and chi, and it's a real positive.
Yeah. I would say so. And so that's how you started Whole30. That's how you started your year of health, is with 100 days of Whole30.
And by the way, I didn't plan to, I did 30 and I was like, I'm feeling so good. Why go off? Why don't I do 40? Why don't I do 45? You know, God, I'm at 45. Maybe I should do 60. And I was losing weight because I was thinking about portions. I was like, you don't need more than this portion, because my tendency is I like to eat. So I could eat 20% more than I need to at each meal. And that is always my challenge, is, you know, slowing down when I eat and not overeating, because my tendency is to want to overeat because I love eating. So that is, and 100%, I said to Liz, when we work together, I'm going to make healthy stuff. I'm going to do all the things, but it's my portions. They're my number one biggest. And I still struggle with it, but it's just like, I'm aware that this is an issue. So it's like, I'm always like, oh, okay. You might decide in advance what your portion is going to be. Part of what I've done is like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night, I do intermittent fasting. So I stop eating about 6 o'clock. I don't do that on Friday night. On Friday night, I go out and we go to dinner and I have dessert and I have a martini, you know, and I don't, and I order what I want. And, you know, mostly what I want is like fish with spinach. You know what I mean? But if I want some French fries, I have it. And I get my 100 steps, yeah, I get 5 steps in a day. I get my 10,000 steps every day. And sometimes I get an 18 and I do my Peloton when I'm in Chicago. So it's been, you know, it's been like 0.5 pound a week. It's all been very incremental. You know, this month, I haven't really weighed myself because I'm just enjoying summer, but everything continues to fit and I can, you know, see that I'm not gaining. So it feels all, you know, really good.
Right. And that's the thing about the anti-diet is really you're creating a change in lifestyle that's sustainable. It's not like you're going to, you know, lose 25 pounds in 2 months. Right. It's like, you're really going, how can I live my life and also, you know, lose an incremental small amount of weight each week and reach a goal, but it's not going to happen overnight. And now I realize like my cravings used to be totally different. Like now my, what I crave for lunch every day, like the greatest thing that I can imagine is like a chicken Caesar salad with like really crisp lettuce. Like that is just a dream for me. Whereas it used to be like, what I want is mac and cheese and French fries. So somehow even my cravings have shifted and I've found that to be miraculous. But do you, you know, because it is kind of a long game, and I think people, one of the reasons why people are excited about Year of Health is it's so inspiring to see somebody like really stay committed to that long game kind of thing. What are your secrets to really staying focused, knowing that it is more of a lifestyle than like just a quick moment?
Right. I mean, I think I have found it very easy to think of this as a year because I don't want to, otherwise it becomes kind of overwhelming. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to do this for a year and see. Now, am I going to like start having Reese's peanut butter cups every day, January 1? No. By the way, if I want a Reese's peanut butter cup now, I would have it. But I just don't want to feel like if you've got some weight to lose that, you know, and if at the end of the year goal, I haven't made it, I can go, oh my God, it's going to take me 2 years to lose it. Like, that's okay. So I just feel good. And I feel like I'm taking really good care of myself. And, you know, my life has been, I take care of you. I take care of Patrick. I take care of other people. I'm not as good at taking care of me. I'm good at taking care of all the crumbles that message me to say, should I make flank steak today? And this year has been, and you know, I mean, Roy has really like, you know, pushed me, like, what is your end game? Where are you going? When do you stop? You know, this doesn't go on forever, this life thing. So, just it's really been good to prioritize sleep and rest and not getting the stories up sometimes and all of that. And it's just been, I feel like it's been so luscious and delicious that the reality is that is much more fun than eating too much. And on a day that I eat too much, I say, oh, that's okay. You know, I mean, like one day I got these gluten-free cookies and it was like, I had 12 of them and I felt really panicked. And then I was like, you know what? It is okay just to stop. You don't have to have the box. You can stop and you don't even have to feel bad about yourself. You might decide you're not going to have dinner because you've had enough calories, but you could just say, and I said, you know, Roy, can you keep these cookies in your office for, you know, instead, you know, or just brought them to Kate Fulling because she's gluten-free, but to not have to feel bad about yourself because you got off track. You know, it's like on Friday night, if it's like, I have my dessert, I don't have to wake up on Saturday and go, well, you need to starve yourself now, you know? So it's just been, you know, I've been in diet mentality my entire life and it has never gotten me where I want to be. So I'm 100% clear that that is not the way for me anymore.
That's one of the things I've really learned about from Liz, because it's like, we'll be talking and we'll go through, like, if I, you know, go out to dinner and I have French fries, we were talking about this yesterday. It was like, I was stressed because I'm going to this restaurant where they have the greatest French fries, and I didn't get to work out yesterday. And I was just trying to go, I know this is going to happen. I have to let go of it. And I just remember Liz saying to me, like, we were talking through situations that would happen. And then I would, you know, be like, describe a situation like yesterday. And she'd be like, okay, what would happen? And I'd be like, well, I'd feel really guilty and then not be present at all where I was because I'm so busy feeling guilty. And I just remember asking me, like, what is the guilt doing? Is it serving any kind of purpose? And then we went through any possible kind of purpose. There's really no purpose. All it does is make you feel bad. At least for me, it doesn't like propel me to some kind of greatness. So now I've had to go, when that feeling seeps in, I'm like, this isn't going anywhere. This is a dead end. So I'm just going to have to figure out how to let go of guilt and shame right now, except that I didn't do what I wanted to do today. And I'm still going to have a fun time. And it's just changed like every area of my life.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and the last thing I want to say about this, and then we'll move on to some of the other questions, is one of the things Liz said to me once I was going on vacation, she said, this is your vacation. How do you want to feel when you get back? Like, what's important to you? Like, do you just want to overdo it the whole time and you come back and it's like my vacation? How do you want to feel? And I said, I want to feel refreshed. So she was like, okay, so how are we going to get there? And, you know, it was like, okay, so for breakfast, you're going to have this moderate thing. You're going to have a cocktail like every day. You're going to do your, you know, walking or your, because I actually like to work out on vacation. And then, you know, it was like, let's have this tuna tower, which I always have for lunch there. And then, you know, have dinner. Well, it was like, you know, I went on vacation and I didn't actually gain any weight, which, and what happened was too, we upped our exercise a lot because we were at a place where it was like, we could do the mirror and we were walking. And so it was like, it was weird to me because I've never come back from vacation and not felt bloated and bad. And I didn't, I felt like really good and refreshed. And I think, you know, you guys, some people know I took a social media break for 10 days and Molly did the page and people loved her and she's lovable. So, you know, pretty fabulous, the whole thing.
Pretty fabulous. So you brought up Roy, the elusive Roy who shows up annually for his turkey talk. And I know he's like, he's a glimmering star on the page. When he appears, yeah, people come out from every crevice of the earth to have commentary about, yeah, it. And people are wondering, you know, they're wondering about Roy. So I'm just, you know, there's questions. There's like, you guys are such a cute couple. How did you meet? Was it love at first sight? Like what's
the story?
What kind of background does Roy have? Like, what do you want to share about it?
Well, you know, he's a little shy on the stories. I mean, in Savannah, we got him out. Sometimes when I get him a little liquored up, I can get him out. Sometimes he's like, I'm absolutely not going to be on the stories. So usually when we travel, I can get him on the stories. And he'll say,
One of the first stories that we did with Roy was, you said, what is in the salad? What's in the pasta? And Roy looks at the camera and he goes, pesto, pasta, shrimp. He's a man of few words.
Right. So he's not, people ask if he's in food. He's not. He's the best cook that I know. He's just a, you know, he's been cooking, you know, for himself, and he even cooked for his family when he was a kid. So he's, you know, he's a self-taught, very passionate foodie in the same way that I am. We met, you know, over 13 years ago, and we were both going through a divorce and really, you know, became divorced friends. And, you know, it was clear after, I don't know, 6-9 months that there was just a lot more there. And we've been together ever since. And, you know, we really share our lives together. You know, we really share our lives like partners. And people are like, well, you know, why aren't you married? We're not married because we don't want to get married. There's something fun about having a boyfriend there, you know, and if people want to be married and they have kids together and they think it's a good thing. I'm not saying people shouldn't get married. I'm saying for me, I own my own home. I have my own life. I love sharing my life with this man. He is so wonderful and he takes really good care of me and he really loves me. And, you know, I'm as in love with him as I am that as I was, you know, 13 years ago. So we are lucky and we know it and we really appreciate our lives. And what I'd say is, you know, when your life changes, when, you know, your dad and I split up, I believe that there could be another chapter for me, you know, and the truth was, you know, you're being with your dad was wonderful. And he gave me you kids. And I'm so grateful for that. And being with Roy, you know, is like, I feel like he's the love of my life, really. And I love sharing it with him. And, you know, we have a lot of fun together and we like to do the same thing. So it, you know, and a lot of it's like talking about food, eating, what are we going to make? You know, what are we, you know, going to get for what we're making, where the supplies coming from? Like this weekend, we're doing lobsters and clams and we've ordered them from Maine and they're arriving and we're going to be doing like a meal with like our neighborhood and it's going to be a lot of fun.
People are always like, people my age are always kind of astounded because like you and Roy and me and Cece go on like, it's almost like couples trips together. Like yeah. We've been on so many trips that are just like us and our partners. And people my age are always like astounded where it's like, where are you going? And who are you going with? Oh, my mom and her boyfriend. And people are like, what? Like, what's that about? And the thing is, you guys are like kids. You're so much fun. You guys get such a kick out of each other. First of all, you're so much fun to be around individually, but together, like we just have a hoot. We have a total yeah. hoot. We really, as a group, make each other laugh a lot. And it's like, yeah, I'm like beyond the fact that she's my mother. It's like, we're like couple friends.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I mean, we're very, very compatible travelers. I mean, first of all, you and I have always been compatible travelers. Roy and I are, you know, compatible travelers. So, but it works together and it doesn't work for everybody all the time, you know? So that's the story about Roy. And it's fun when he shows up and says the things he does, you know, he's opinionated and kind of indignant and he's funny and he's a lot of fun to be with. And all kinds of people who follow would be like, no, Roy. I mean, you know, so it's like people will show up that know Roy from like other places and they'll be like, is that Roy? I mean, maybe they've worked with him or something. It's kind of fun.
They're probably like stunned
oh, yeah.
to see him.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't get to see him that much, but occasionally we do.
What do you think are like your favorite things that Roy makes? Because he's such an amazing yeah. cook. Like what are some of the faves?
I would say pasta. I would say he makes like, he likes to make what I want to eat. So he, and I love clams. So he makes a really good clam pasta. He makes the best pasta that you've ever had. And it's like dried pasta. I don't mean like it's like fresh, but he really understands like how to cook it and what to cook it in. And I would say risotto, anything with potatoes. He does some cool rice dishes. He makes a great steak. But he knows that for me, I primarily want to eat a little healthier. So he makes those things work. And part of the thing with the pasta is he really lets the pasta be the star. Like when we're making a sauce, it's not cream and butter. I mean, it's a lot of like clam juice that's condensed and, you know, it's like some parm and he just knows, you know, all the things like we're working on sort of a steamed clam thing right now that we're doing. He you know, he gets it and he's fabulous.
Okay. I really like this question. Someone said, it seems all your recipes make a lot of food. Is it ever just you and Roy? And we're going to, they do make a lot of food.
Yeah. First of all, I know who asked that. It's one of my favorite crumbles. So first of all, we love leftovers. You know, when I'm cooking in the kitchen here, everything is for four. Everything's for four. And, you know, we like things to look beautiful on a platter. So I cook for my pottery. I cook to fit on the pottery and to have it look great. And usually it's four. Yes, for Roy and I, but as a general rule, Roy and I make more than we need. And one of the things in the year of health is saying, Terry, you don't need to make the box of pasta. You can simply make a portion of the pasta. So we do cook less and it's a good question. Yeah, but I like leftovers. And neighbors love leftovers.
Oh, yeah. The neighbors are in like, basically, I mean, if anybody is in a fan club, the neighbors are at the top of the list because they get what is in the Instagram photos. They get it.
Yeah. And
they receive
there's it. A group text every day. And the group text is like food, you know, it's gluten-free. It's this, it's that. And whoever says I'm coming right now, you don't say to me, I'm coming tomorrow. I'm coming tomorrow is like, I don't even hear what you're talking about and I'm not answering you. No, no. You come today.
It's first come, first serve, and then there's basically like a war.
You put your baby in the crib and you run on over, girl. But no, yeah. yeah.
You might not even put the baby in the yeah. crib. Just set the baby down.
Yeah. Or bring the baby.
So in terms of your biggest influences, you know, we know that your mom has a big influence on your life, but Is there anything else that comes to mind about like your, whether it's food influences or just life influences, who are those people?
I would say a food and party and all of that. You know, I worked for Carl Bendix and, you know, who we call Jalesh, and he's this amazing, you know, event producer. So he's been a huge influence. Clayton Sondag, who was my dad's best friend and one of my best friend's fathers, was an amazing cook, meat, beef, gardener. He was a huge influence. You know, the truth for me is my biggest influences were my parents. They were miraculous people. And I almost didn't need to look for others because they both fulfilled so much. My dad was hardworking, honest, brilliant, a bit of a genius. And he was in the food service business also. And my dad would know about, like, he understood the food science behind like frying fish and how it works a certain way. My dad was super smart. But he believed in us kids. You know, he didn't want us to have to fit a mold like you need to be a doctor, lawyer. So he really wanted to help each of us find our passions. And, you know, that my parents, you know, they taught us that we could do anything we wanted to do. And a lot of it we did. So I feel really lucky that my dad was my dad. I don't talk about him much. The same way Roy was in the background and my mom was a very big personality is the same way my dad was in the background. And my mom was a very big personality. I mean, my dad was famous in a certain way, right? And, you know, and was well known and very well respected, you know, and an incredible entrepreneur, kind of a titan. And my mom was well known for her music and what she did. And in Deerfield, people knew my mom more than my dad. So they each, you know, but they had shared values about family. You know, my parents were quietly people that made a difference in the world. It was important to them. They knew they were fortunate people and they knew that they had to give back. And that was an amazing example. And I'm glad to have had it. And in our family, we quietly give back in ways that we don't really talk about. Cause it's like, if you're going to, you know, it's the famous quote, if you're going to give a piano to the church, you know, don't tell people about it, you know, which is like, you know, my parents were not name on pew people. They didn't do it so that people would know. They did it because they wanted to make a difference. And I think, like, when I think of my sisters, they're very much that way. You'll find out something lovely that they did. So I'm really proud of the family that I came from. Make no mistake that I'm unbelievably proud of my dad, who he was, what he did, and the kind of person and the example that he was, that he led. So I feel like I won the lottery when it comes to my parents.
Yeah, when you talk about, like, your dad just sort of quietly being at the helm of everything, but from the background, it makes me think of that picture where that's exactly what's happening. It's like you and your two sisters and your mom, like, out in the light. And then it's like, you see this figure in the back and you can't really even see your dad's body. It's like, you see like your dad's face and he's just like standing in the back, kind of like presenting you guys. And it's beautiful photo. Love it.
Yeah. It's a beautiful picture. And I always say my dad did a lot of wonderful things, but the very best thing that my dad ever did was give us our mother. She was magic. He traveled and he was gone a lot. And he made such a good choice in a wife, you know, and at that point, it's sort of how it worked, right? And she was an amazing mother to us. And it was such a gift. So when I think of everything my dad did and gave, that's the very best.
When you talk about your parents and just, you know, how they really inspired you to not have to fit into a mold and all that good stuff, I think a lot of the lessons that you learned from your parents is exactly what I picked up from you and dad, which is just really sweet to hear that, because it's nice that all those things you loved about what they taught you are things that you've really, I think, effectively been able to pass on to me and Patrick. Someone's wondering, what have you learned from me? And I think that's a good question.
I think that's what we're going to start the next podcast with from next season.
All right. Here's what we're going to do. We have some quick fire questions, and we're going to end that way. How about that?
Okay.
All right. What is your most expensive regular ingredient?
Olive oil.
Is there a certain brand of bra that you wear?
Not necessarily. No, Rigsby and Peller is the bra store that I go to.
Oh my God. What a name. What are your must-have spice and pantry items? You could just do a few.
Yeah. I mean, I love Spice House in Chicago, and I mean, certainly sumac, smoked paprika, really good kosher salt are some of my go-tos.
Besides bras, do you have another guilty pleasure?
Chocolate peanut butter, absolutely, for sure.
Would you ever open a pop-up restaurant?
Under no situation.
What is your favorite salad dressing of all time?
Well, I would have to say marinated onions. I mean, it's my favorite magic elixir.
Okay, and then how do you find time for self-care?
Well, I think in a way we've covered that. You make time for self-care. You don't find time for self-care. You make time and you say, I'm worth it. Isn't that good? Jeez.
Oh my God. If the people could see my, that was not what I expected you to say. I thought what you were going to say is I don't. Right.
You make time.
But I feel like we're a living quote right now.
Yeah. I mean, thank you for being here and doing this. The thing I didn't get to say there is that I feel like with Dad and I chose wisely on mates also, you know, we really came together and wanted to have a family. And I think that in a way was our soul agreement. And I feel like, you know, he's a really solid human being and a good father and he loves you kids. And I feel like the values that he has are what I would want in a mate. And I feel really good that we share children together. He is who would I pick on the planet to share children with.
He's pretty amazing. And I feel so fortunate that you guys are my parents. I mean, I won the lottery with my family. As a last question, do we have any rituals in terms of saying goodbye to one another that make it easier?
I mean, no, just like lots of hugging and saying we love each other and making plans to see each other next time.
I'd say that's true. Yeah. And crying.
Yeah. We crying and there's no holding it back.
And then we film it. That's our tradition. We film it and we show all of you people.
Yeah, it's bad. So will you come back for next season for episode one?
Yeah. And now I'm feeling kind of weird because we can't do my after show and this episode because of this, the whole thing. So
yeah, this is about as long as we can go on a podcast. So there'll be no after show, but anyway, I love you and I wouldn't want to do this with anyone else but you. So thanks.
Oh, it's such a blast. This is like part of my life that I just love. Like when people ask me what I do, I'm like, well, I do a lot of things, but I do a podcast with my mom. That's really a blast. So I hope you guys will come back for next season. We'd really like to see you. I mean, we love you. We love the company.
So we're signing off for today. Come find us over at No Crumbs Left. Lots of love to everybody.
Bye.
Well, that was fun. Thanks so much for listening and joining us all season. We're excited to see you soon for our season 4. And in the meantime, be sure to come find us at No Crumbs Left on Instagram, Pinterest, Facebook, or the blog. Have a great day.